Welcome to the Princess Power Hour, where we show you how to go from pauper to powerful by transforming your health, your wealth, and your relationships. Here's the princess of podcasting herself, Natalie Thomas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Thank you for joining us today. We have the beautiful Megan Fenior with us today, and we are going to be talking about stepping out of your straitjacket into enough. And boy, I think we so need that. So many times we don't feel like we're enough. And so we're going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to tell you about Megan, and then you're going to get to actually meet her. But we have a little tradition around here, and I always tell you the lipstick color of the day for my long-lasting lipstick. This lipstick is so cool because it's guaranteed for a minimum of 4 hours. It will stay on up to 18 hours, and it is lead-free, wax-free, GMO-free, cruelty-free, FDA-approved, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But check this out, Megan, because you haven't seen this, all right? It is kiss-proof.
Yeah.
Smudge-proof. Look at that. I am smudging. So you tell my audience.
I love it.
Isn't that way cool? So I did all that, and I didn't tell anybody the color. So
that
Isn't it? Yeah. So we can mix our colors. And you can take two colors and create like a dozen by how you layer them. So I am wearing two layers of Sheer Berry covered by one layer of Bravo. Then the secret sauce that locks it all in is our gloss. And that comes in a bunch of different styles. You can get matte, you can get pearl, you can get opal, glossy gloss. I just like my lips slicker than snot. So you do reapply the gloss, say before you eat or after you eat, or if your lips feel a little bit dry, but that color will stay there on all day long, which is really fun. So
yes, definitely.
It's cool. She's like, All right. So Megan, let's tell everybody a little bit about you real quick. Okay. She is a licensed clinical social worker and is licensed in both California and Michigan. You're living in California now though, aren't you?
Yes. San Diego.
Okay. San Diego. Okay. Megan has been working in the field for the past 15 years. And in 2012, she did something crazy and different. And I bet a bunch of people were going, whoa, because she made the decision to commission as an officer into the Air Force and move from Michigan to California. Megan was a captain and provided mental health and substance abuse treatment to fellow active duty members and veterans. Well, Megan, thank you for your service. I'm in awe of that.
Thank you.
I have a son who is speaking with recruiters now about the Marines, and I'm a little, I'm trying not to react too strongly because I don't really want him to know that I'm not loving the idea, mm-hmm. doing a little reverse psychology there, but I'm not sure about how I feel about that. He could go get some education paid for by UPS. So I mean, you were part-time there, they'll pay for college at three universities here in Louisville. Since separating from service, Megan has been working full-time as a mental health therapist in the hospital setting and owns her own health food franchise. Megan has begun a new venture and is the business owner of Mission Strength. Tell us about Mission Strength.
Mission Strength focuses on mindset and health coaching. Mm-hmm. I kind of pull in my background of health and wellness. Mm-hmm. And also my background as a therapist. Mm-hmm. And we can focus on so many different things. If it has to do with mindset for starting a new business, mindset for making big decisions in your life, mindset just to get into the gym or whatever that looks like. So I do provide the one-on-one life coaching.
That is awesome. And I do interview a lot of coaches on here, but a lot of people do not have the kind of background that you have, that, you know, you've got something rock solid to really launch. You know, some people have some life experiences, some people have some you know, certifications and things like that. But the field in general is a little loose, as most of us know. But I have never had anybody want to talk about stepping out of your straitjacket into enough. I do know that Tony Robbins says people's number one fear is not being enough. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that. What did that look like for you?
Well, I do have it tattooed on my collarbone here. I am enough.
Wow.
Yes. So this is my motto. This is my, you know, positive affirmation among others. And I've always had it in the back of my mind, but it really didn't hit home for me until about a year and a half ago. Really? And I did some really personal work. I went through a really bad divorce. And I was kind of like by myself up in Northern California and really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was working at the hospital and all my friends and family were in Michigan. And so I was just kind of there by myself, like, okay. And I did a lot of personal work because I was a mess. And to say that as a mental health therapist is a little scary, but it's true. Like, I was a mess. I mean, on the floor crying, you know, just so overwhelmed with emotions. And so I started doing my personal journey. And I've always kind of been in love with affirmations and positive statements, but I never really had one that I really, really clung on to until I came across I Am Enough. And for me, I Am Enough means no matter what I get done in the day, no matter, you know, what happens in the day, that I am enough. I'm enough for myself. I'm enough for the people in my life.
I love that.
So it just sticks with me.
I think that it really is very important. And I'm just going to throw in here, and then we're going to jump onto something else, that in my experience, and I used to, because I was a foster parent for many years, I had a lot of social workers in and out of my home, made friends with a lot of people in that field. And what tends to draw people into that field from my experience is people having problems in their own life that they want to overcome. These are not perfect people that have it all together. They may have gone to college. They may have been an officer in the military, but they've got issues they're working on, and we're all human and we all have things we need to work on. So people that are out there listening, don't be ashamed that you're not perfect. Mm-hmm. None
Amen
of us are
to
perfect.
That.
Okay. I have 7 businesses. I have grown businesses to $2.2 million in sales. I have done international businesses. I've done all kinds of things, and my life is not perfect, and it is not easy. Okay. It's fun. My life is good and amazing, but if you knew all the stuff that we go through, and I've been through the divorce, Megan, I know what you're talking about, and you're talking about lying on the ground and that kind of pain. So those of you that are out there listening, think about those situations in your life. You know, this is stepping out of your straitjacket. Okay. I mean, how often do we feel that we're in a hopeless situation, right? Or stuck. Okay, straitjacket would represent stuck really well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like to the point where I felt like, not that I was going to go into an institution, but I literally was so emotionally up and down and roller coaster, and one minute was fine, the next minute was crying. I felt like I was losing my mind. I felt like I was going crazy. And so that's kind of where the whole straitjacket, like I just felt tied to my emotions and that I couldn't move, you know? And so then I was able to break free.
Praise God. And you look free. I can really relate. I didn't grow up raised by my parents. I grew up in a neighborhood that had 5 suicides in 1 year. Wow. Just, you know, an abusive stepfather, molested, raped, later beaten by a husband. I mean, I could just go down a pretty long list of ugly things that I've had mm-hmm. to overcome. And I can definitely remember times in my life thinking that my life was pushing me toward the cliff of insanity, that was almost the escape. Not that I would choose that. I had to fight against that. But I know the battle, and some of my audience knows that my brother chose the opposite. He had a psychotic break from drugs. He got involved in that because of a back injury, and he died homeless on a bench about 2.5 years ago. And well, thank you. You know, I loved him and everybody in the family loved him. We all tried to help him. We all let him come live with us, down to my daughter did, my sister did, my grandmother did, I did. And it was so painful to not know how to help somebody, mm-hmm. you know, but to see a person like you, a person like me, for audience to know that we can get through all this stuff and not only survive, but thrive. You are a woman that's thriving. You're working. You've got a business. You've got two businesses, really.
I do. And I appreciate what you said. And I just have to say, I did foster care work for 10 years.
Did you? In Michigan. On the social worker side.
I did.
Okay.
And, you know, people become social workers and therapists not because their life has been good. I mean, I could tell you stories from childhood all the way up until here I am at 38. I mean, it was a rough childhood and I had a learning disability and was told I was never going to go to college. Yeah. And, you know, all of these things, abuse, you know, all of that stuff that I grew mm-hmm. up with. I've been very blessed in my career, but I have to contribute it, as crazy as it sounds, to the experiences that I've been through in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I agree. Given,
you know, I wouldn't, of course there's some things I would change, but honestly, like it gave me the passion and the desire to do what I do. And so for that, I'm thankful. So, you know, the best therapists, I believe, really just don't have their stuff together, right?
I'm going to say what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Okay? Yes, definitely. Definitely.
All right. And I'm writing that down. And I just spelled something wrong. So, I'll have to fix that later, but sorry guys, show notes. I do my best. I try to take notes while we're talking. It's hard sometimes to do both, but I try to give our listeners the best of everything. Yeah. I can absolutely relate to everything you're talking about. And right now I just moved into this amazing, humongous house in Kentucky. Didn't see it really before I moved in. And, I saw it like one day before or something like that, you know, at night, that kind
Talk of about taking a leap of faith.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Paid for an inspection, the whole thing, selling my beautiful, amazing home in California. Well, I'm sort of having to fight the thought that it's turning it into a house of horrors. Like literally every single day, something else is going wrong with that. It's like we had this one rain that, 3 windows and 2 doors were leaking. And then I've had like 3 faucet leaks, and now they can't fix the faucet leak without taking all the tile off the wall in the other bathroom. And that's not covered by anything. And I have to pay for that. And then to put all the tile back. And then last night the roof started leaking, and you're just like, and then the basement is leaking. And then, and you're like, and you know, I paid for a professional inspection to advise me on all this stuff beforehand. And what's giving me peace right now is God just says, I will work all things together for good for those mm-hmm. who love me. And I just keep going, this is all going to work out. This is all going to be okay, which goes to mindset. And from the beginning, I chose the thought, somebody else is going to pay for this problem. You know, I wasn't in the house 30 days. I'm going back to the owners and saying, hey guys, there's no way that there could be this many problems and you had no clue, you know, wasn't in disclosures. I mean, literally I had water coming 5 feet into my home.
Wow.
Yeah. So I can't unpack in certain areas, and you know, you call the contractors and they're not coming, or they do come and they don't do the estimates, and it's a whole different culture here. And, you know, and what I could get into drama. I could get angry. I could, let it make me crazy. I could use expressions like I'm pulling my hair out. But what does that get us, Megan?
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. So what were some of the steps that you took to find peace in this pain of your divorce?
Well, and I think the same steps that I use, that I have used over the last however many years, because I did a lot of my own personal work in my 20s, and then again, a couple years after that, and then again, after my divorce, and So for me, again, it goes back to mindset. My first and foremost was finding a tribe. And my tribe has changed as I've gotten older. And now that I'm, you know, pretty set in life in regards to relationships, I have my tribe. And if it wasn't for my tribe, I don't know where I would be. So some of them live close, some of them don't. Mm-hmm. And it was also for me about really kind of stepping outside of my comfort zone, because I was so, you know, limited in Northern California where I was at, I really didn't have a tribe. So I had to kind of, on top of all the other emotions, step outside my comfort zone and figure out, okay, am I going to just stay in my house all day after I go to work lay on the couch, or am I going to do things that are somewhat fearful for me? And I said, okay, because I know that at the end of the day, if I do these things, it's going to make me feel better.
Okay.
So I always talk about like walking into my cave of fear. What does that look like? And what's going to happen on the outside? So definitely my tribe. Journaling was huge for me. Now I'm not a huge journaler. And like when I tell my clients, like, just journal, everyone's like, no, like I don't want to just sit and write and write and write. And the great thing about journaling is you don't have to sit and write and write. There were days where I was just like, not even joking you, there were days where I just wrote swear words because I was just so mad. And then there was a day where, you know, I spent my time and wrote a prayer and, you know, did like devotions in my journal. And so it can be a list of things. It can be a gratitude list, starting your day in the morning with a gratitude list in your journal. So things like that. And there's one video that I was going through Facebook one morning. I was laying in bed. I'm like, okay, Megan, you've got to get up. You know, because I was still seeing patients at that time. And I was like, you got to get up. You've got people to help. Like, you can't just be selfish and stay in bed. And so I was scrolling through Facebook. And I found this video, and it's called Unbroken, and it's a motivational video. And I would have to find it, the spelling of this guy's name. And it brought me to tears. And I have listened to that multiple times a day, multiple times a week. I've given it to clients, my friends, my team. It is so motivational. And even if I'm at the gym, and I'm like, okay, I'm so tired. I can't do this. Can't do this. I turn that video on and it's like, boom. Like I have goosebumps again. Like I just
if you can give
video.
Us a link to that after the show,
I will.
We'll put that on the show page so that they can have a look at that too. Because if it's really that impactful, we want everybody to have a shot at seeing that too. If it's something you're going back to. So
all
you
the time. I actually just listened to it on Monday.
Were you suffering from depression at this point? Because I have suffered from depression. As a matter of fact, I had two very severe 6-month ones, and this is many, many, many years ago, but you know, I can understand it. So when you're thinking, I've got to get up, I've got to get dressed, I've got people, I've got to help. Were you suffering through your own depression at that time?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Depression, okay. Anxiety. And
okay.
I just wanted to stay in bed. And I never did because I had that mindset of, I have to help other people. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I also did was I paid it forward. Like what could I do outside of my work, you know, to help others? Mm-hmm. And so that's where it came, where I started my health food franchise and I opened my own private practice because I was working at the hospital because I just wanted to give back because although I was feeling crappy inside, it helped to give back.
Oh, wow. Got it. Okay. Everybody, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we're going to be right back. Are you looking for ways to improve your life? Did you know that there are ancient texts with all kinds of great information about who we really are? Once you get that down into you, it's life-changing. So I have compiled some of the best for you to listen to for 15 minutes every morning. It's so simple to get it into your spirit about the amazing person that you are. Feel better about yourself. And with these recordings, you actually get 6 free bonuses. So I want you to go after the show
to scripturalaffirmations.com for more information. That's scripturalaffirmations.com.
All right, we have been talking to Megan Fignot about stepping out of your straitjacket into enough. And she says that one of the keys for her was helping other people. That helped her get through her own pain. It helped her begin to accept herself. And that's one of the pieces of advice that I've given to others. You see people that they're unemployed or they're depressed or they've got all these problems, go find somewhere to volunteer. If there's nothing else you can do to give back, all of my businesses are about helping people, every single one of them, okay? And helping people, for me, is the absolute greatest joy in life, but it will pull you out of your stupor like nothing else, won't it, Megan?
Oh, yes, definitely. You have to make sure that it's not taking all your time, because you still have to allow yourself to be in that moment of sadness. And you know, you want to just make sure you're not filling your time with busy work, that you're still going through the emotions. But that is my motto in life. I'm here on this earth to help others and inspire people to live the best lives that they can. I was given this life for a reason, and it's not my, I can't just focus on me all the time. So again, it was that mindset saying, what can I do to help other people?
We have in California, the church I used to go to, we have what we call a for-profit nonprofit. And what happens is people donate stuff to this warehouse. The church donates the warehouse space, then people donate stuff and people volunteer and go in and sort and clean and sell the stuff and everything else. And then they take that money and they feed about 900 families a week. And it takes this small army of people. But we have learned over the years that if somebody is unemployed or has problems in their life, that if they start volunteering there, that inevitably they wind up getting a job. They wind up feeling better about themselves. And yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that I would like to see modeled and remodeled across the country.
Agreed.
Because I hate to ever throw anything out. You know, I say that, you know, what's one person's trash is somebody else's treasure.
And, yeah.
You know, all that kind of thing. I hate to waste anything. It's just ingrained in me. I was raised by my grandparents who were raised in the Depression. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she would save wrapping paper, used wrapping paper. I don't do that. Thank you. Okay. I've gotten out of my poverty mindset, which I grew up with. But so tell us a little bit more. You've got your health business. You're still working at the hospital, but you're really looking at growing those, your businesses, and getting away from the hospital. And so tell us more about what you're doing and how you're doing it.
Well, some people call me a health hustler.
Okay. Okay.
or the queen of multitasking, because I do. I work, you know, 40 hours a week. I work out 5 days a week. Yeah. And then I also have my health food franchise and Mission Strength, because I believe that I truly am bound for greatness, right? And I feel confined in, you know, a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like these opportunities have come to me and I want to pursue them. And so, yes, it makes my life crazy busy right now, but I know that down the road, it's going to make it all worth it. So, everything's just been kind of falling in place since I moved to San Diego about 5 months ago, and everything is falling into place, and I'm just super excited to see where it all leads.
Well, we're excited for you. So now, with all this time and all this juggling, where are your relationships? Are you in San Diego by yourself? Are you dating? Are you with somebody? How does that all fit into 40 hours and side hustle?
Yes. So I moved to San Diego. One of my best friends and her family live here. So that's super helpful. She also is kind of like my business partner with my health food franchise. And the franchise is very, very big. A lot of people have the different franchises in San Diego. So I'm doing all kinds of fun stuff and meeting people. I'm not dating yet. Okay. I don't know when I want to do that. I'm very scared. But I do have a relationship with my ex-husband, which is crazy, but we are still friends. And so that's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
So, but he's in Northern California. So, but I'm just, I'm learning to get out there more and network. If I meet someone, great. I just don't know. It's not my focus right now. I feel that the things that have been put into my life since I moved to San Diego, like the Mission Strength and my franchise, I feel like I have to focus on that. But I do make time for myself. My weekends are usually my fun time. I need my self-care. Hello, I live 4 miles from the beach. I can't just work all the time. So I do make sure that I put in self-care. And hey, you never know. I might be at the beach one day and meet the man of my dreams. I don't know.
Oh, I love that.
I'm open for anything.
I love that. And I think it's important to take some time after you've come out of a relationship. People don't do that enough.
Honestly, it's really about fear. It's about fear of being alone. And I totally recognize that. For me, it was different because I was alone until I was 34. I didn't get married till I was 34. And I was only married 2.5 years. So for me, going back to being on my own was easier than most people when they go through a traumatic breakup like that. Because there is a fear of being alone. I mean, I don't want to be alone, obviously, but I'm more comfortable with that. And so, yeah, it's definitely important to take that time because you really have to work on yourself and your heart and your emotions. Otherwise, it's just going to carry into the next relationship.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You know, I was married for 32 years. And in that 32 years, crazy enough, I was alone for 11 years of that time for just different circumstances, you know, five months here and, you know, then a couple of real serious separations that, you know, trying to work on the marriage, that kind of thing. But, and I apologize to everybody for the sound. My son came home from the gym and turned on the fan in the bathroom right below us. And the room here is actually vibrating. So I've texted him and asked him to turn it off. But if everybody's hearing that, we will work out the kinks of being in this new location. You know, I used to have a specific podcast room and actually I do here too, but, apparently it's right over the bathroom. So, we'll get that worked on. Our sound is definitely not perfect. Some people really make that a focus of their shows and we sort of make trying to give you good content the focus of our shows and we sort of roll with everything else. So I'm sorry about that. No, I agree with you. I see people that are dating when they're just separated. They're not even really free to be out there. And I was separated for long periods of time and didn't date either time. And weird enough, I just got married and my husband is now in California and I'm in Kentucky. And the reason I picked Kentucky is he's a professional jockey and he can ride at Churchill Downs. So,
oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome, but it's not fun being apart and we're still negotiating on when he's going to be able to come. And, it's toward the end of the season here and, you know, he's nervous. He can't get enough work right away and he just had eye surgery. So
oh my goodness.
we're trying to keep up our phone relationship, but I definitely think that learning to be on your own is important for any person. You know, these women that don't want to put stamps on envelopes or go out to lunch by themselves, or, you know, it goes back to what we're talking about in the beginning, not feeling like they're enough even to satisfy their own.
That is so true. And it's funny that you brought up the going to lunch thing, because I have been that person for many years, like where I'll go to lunch or even dinner. I know it sounds weird. I mean, I always sit at the bar. I don't get my own table, but for years, because you get to meet really cool people when you're sitting at the bar. Honestly, like
I've got a story about that. I'm going to tell you the story.
But I've done that for years. And my friends, like when I was in Michigan, they're always like, how can you do that? Like, and I don't know. I've always had, you know, back in my 20s and stuff, I had really low self-esteem, but I was still able to go out to dinner and go to lunch. And in my 30s, I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? Like just sit at home and not go enjoy a glass of wine and some dinner by myself. So I've always been able to do that. And I love that you put that together with being enough, because I think that that's exactly about being enough, that you are enough to go and treat yourself to dinner.
Yeah.
Girl, so tell me your story.
Okay, I go to Disneyland by myself. This is when I lived in California. Dinner by myself, movies by myself, beach by myself. You know, you just do what you got to do. Because, and I traveled by myself. I made up my mind. I went to the Bahamas. Turned out Hurricane Sandy went there too at the same time. Uh-huh. But hey. But I just decided that I was not going to make having a man in my life a criteria to me having a life and having fun.
Exactly.
And
yes.
So my bar story is I don't drink. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I don't like the taste of it. And I don't sit at bars. I get my own table. And one day they didn't have a table. They set me at a bar. So I don't have this experience, right? And this guy doesn't talk to me anything else. He's paying. And he says, hey, I'll pay for her soup too. Okay. And I was terrified. Okay. Like I was like, okay, I don't know how this works. Like, does he expect me to sleep with him? Like, I literally was calculating, do I need to go hide in the bathroom? Like, I was absolutely terrified. And poor guy paid, left, never said a word to me. Like, okay, it was all good. But, you know, so yeah, I don't know how those things work. But
yes,
I survived it.
You did. And yeah, it's crazy. It is a lot of fun. And I've just had such great experiences with, you know, even not with guys that like ask for my number or anything, because that doesn't usually happen, but just the people that you meet. I've just had like the greatest stories and greatest conversations this way. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I've got one more story.
Okay.
So my perception, okay, misperception, was that probably I wasn't going to meet the quality of man that I was looking for at a bar. Okay.
Right.
And yeah, maybe I can meet that guy in a golf course, but I don't really want a guy that's going to be out there golfing, you know? So I'm trying to be strategic about all this and thinking about it, but I dearly love dancing. Now, I didn't necessarily think I was going to meet the guy dancing either, but I love dancing. And the place where I usually went to dance wasn't having one that night. And my friends had talked about this bar that had dancing, and it's a big bar / restaurant, whatever. And that's where I met my husband.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So my one time of really talking to a guy in a bar, and it was really funny, about a year into dating him or so, he said, you know, it's funny. He said, I felt like you wanted me to talk to you that night. And I thought back and I remembered there's a lady out there, and her name is escaping me at the moment, but she teaches a lot of different things about dating. So she teaches this 5-second thing that you're supposed to look at somebody for 5 seconds, which is hard to do. It's a long time. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it with you right now. And then you look away and then you look back. Okay. And that's just supposed to be like a little cue for them that it's safe to talk to you. Well, I was practicing it that night. And that is the one and only time I practiced it.
And it worked.
So it was a bar and practicing that. And yeah, I told him apparently it worked.
And I do have to say, I've never been to like a bar by myself.
And I'm not saying that's wrong.
No, I'm just saying, cause like that takes some guts, you know, like restaurant. Yeah. And sitting at a bar at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's such a great story. I'm going to have to try that for sure.
I actually went to a dive bar too. Okay. So now that we're on bars, we'll just roll the bars for a minute here. Now this one I was afraid to go to by myself because everybody said it was a dive bar and I didn't know what a dive bar was, but it didn't sound good. Right. But they had dancing and I liked dancing and it was near my house. And so some guy wanted to date me. So I got him to take me over to the place and, you know, it looked perfectly fine to me. You know, I mean, it's just dark and the bar was in the other area and the dancing was over here. And went to the bathroom and everything's fine. And I'm leaving the restroom and there's like penises all over the back wall, like some magazine cutout pictures. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe this is what I'm talking about. You know, like I wasn't sure, but you know, so I can now say I've been to a dive bar. And you know, one of the ladies at the church I went to said, I'm praying for that bar to close down. And I said, I don't know why you would. I said, it's a real great mission field. You know, you want to go there and, you know, those people need Jesus. Why don't you just go there and talk to them? You know, there's lonely, hurting people there, you know, why, you know, curse a business, you know, that's helping the community in some way, you know, might not be the way she thinks is okay, but anyway. All right. Well, that was way off topic. Let's come back to you.
Totally
and
okay.
Jesus. Okay. We're having fun. Sorry about that, everybody. All right. So tell us how, if somebody wanted to reach out to you for coaching, what kind of things would you work with them on?
I have a plethora of things, but again, it goes to the individual person. So for health, I do individualized workout plans, eating plans for people. education on whole food nutrition, disease, and lifestyle, getting into the mindset when it comes to health, because really, if you think about it, everything we do comes in our, like, is about our mind, right? Mm-hmm. If you literally pay attention to how many negative things we say to ourselves in a day, like if you really pay attention to it, it's astounding, right? And so it's, I'm not going to get up for bed, or I'm not going to get out of bed to go to the gym this morning. Okay, so how are we going to change that? What are you going to say? And it all takes practice. So it's saying it every morning when you're going to get up and go to the gym. And so that's kind of the health piece. And also with the mindset, what do you want in your life? What makes you passionate? What is your purpose in life? If you have that yearning to do something different, I just remember I felt like I was always on this cliff and just yearning for something different. And I was just ready to take the leap. And if you feel like that, even if you're going through something that's difficult, I can help you, figure out really what you want, capitalize on the strengths you already have, and really work on that mindset and figuring out A, B, and C. You want this, how are you going to get it? And what's going to happen after that to maintain that? So it's really fun. I have a really good time with my clients, and we do fun things, and it's just more of like, just kind of how we are right now, just mm-hmm. talking and just having fun. And it's, you're not sitting in a stuffy office, it's you and me, and let's hang out and talk and just make it all about you. It's great to have some time all about you.
Oh, that's fabulous. I have hired more than a few coaches in my life for different things at different times. And I have found them all valuable. You don't stay with, one person forever. If it fulfills that need and you move on and for a while, and then, the next thing comes up, mm-hmm. So, I know that you have a special for our listeners as well on your services.
So anyone who contacts me and says that they heard this amazing podcast on Pink Power, then they
Princess
will get,
Power.
Oh my gosh, Princess Power. Why did I say pink? I think it's, I don't know.
Don't worry.
Sorry, because maybe pink's my favorite color and it was kind of in my head. I don't know.
Don't worry.
It's okay. Princess Power, because we're all princesses. You will get $50 off a session, a one-on-one coaching session. And that can be telehealth. So it can be on Skype, telephone, FaceTime, or one-on-one.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. We totally appreciate that. So tell her that you heard her on Pink Power or Princess Power. Any of those will work.
Yes.
And how can they reach out to you? How can they find you?
So I have a website, also Facebook. If you just type in Mission Strength, my Facebook page, you can also go to my website. It's kind of long, but kind of easy. So it's just missionstrengthsd.com. And so you can go there. My contact information's on there. My phone number. I have no problem with people texting. I know it's a little not, one-on-one, but if you want to send a first text, because maybe you're a little nervous, then picking up the phone and calling, please, by all means, text me. I'm totally okay with that. So yeah, all that info is on my website. Again, it's missionstrengthsd.com.
Well, thank you, Megan. That's been awesome. And I'm going to bet you that SD stands for San Diego. So that'll help.
It sure does.
Remember that. So she's in sunny California in San Diego, right close to where I moved away from. So thank you, Megan. And for our listeners, if you have found value in this, please share the show and reach out to Megan. And you all have a blessed, amazing day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Princess Power Hour with Natalie Thomas. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit princesspower.com or on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter at PP Princess Power. Until next time, work smarter, not harder. Come on. Have a question for your host of Princess Power Hour, Natalie Thomas? Contact us at www.princesspower.com or tweet us at PPPrincessPower.